We understand you can't listen to all 4 hours of the show. That's why we have Scheman and Shepherd on demand. Download us whenever at 993ESPN.com or on iTunes. This is Scheman and Shepherd on 993ESPN.
I had some dreams, they were clouds in my car.
Craig Scheman, Pete Shepard, Carly Simon, 99.3 ESPN, and the 99.3 ESPN
about this
app.
Song. And Carly and James Taylor used to own an awesome place on Martha's Vineyard called Cat and a Hot Tin Roof. No longer exists. But is this song about Warren Beatty? Is it about James Taylor, former husband? Who's it about?
Warren Beatty.
I don't know.
LeVar Ball.
I don't know.
Or LeVar Ball.
LeVar Ball. I'm sure LeVar thinks it's about him.
Sure he does. Big Bowler Band, baby. All right, coming up, we still have some more reaction, in case you missed it, of LeVar Ball's hideously stupid and insane and self-absorbed interview on Undisputed this morning. Undisputed with Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless, even though I'm not a big fan of Skip Bayless. Shannon Sharp slightly
I don't
went
watch
after
that
him.
Show at all. But when this happens, I don't care what network has it, it's going to be made. And tonight on TNT, I'm still not sure if TNT has a pregame tonight. You would think they would for a doubleheader like this on a Thursday. They used to, instead of running reruns of, what's Alyssa Milano's there, when she's a witch, that show. Whatever it's called. I'd rather hear from Charles. I'd rather hear from Shaq. I'd rather hear from Kenny.
Well, it's going to be amazing.
And Ernie.
LeVar, after his dad's been running his mouth all week, Alonzo has to go into the locker room with the Lakers and face his teammates. There's LeBron who tried to get everybody traded. None of them got traded. They're still there. It's going to be must-see TV. It's a train wreck that you got to see. We'll resume that conversation in a bit. But right now, Rick Horro is our sports business insider from with us here at Scheman & Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN with Horro Business Ventures. And Rick, we welcome you back from the Super Bowl. How do things go?
Hey, Rick.
Hey, guys. Things went well. Obviously, from Shepherd's perspective, they went really well. A lot of people lamented on Monday that it was boring. You know, boring to me is just shows that you don't like a defensive game. I think the whole event was brilliantly staged. I don't care that we had 2 or 3 million people not watch compared to the year before. I think they were watching different devices that weren't measured. So, much ado about nothing as it relates to the NFL. And frankly, though, I couldn't get out of there quick enough. It's just I'm too old for some of the stuff that goes on. But it was fun. I had a meeting in Tallahassee. It was a four-hour drive. So it was fun driving down to Tallahassee out of town and seeing that massive backup on I-75 with rental cars being, pulled off the road to get to Hartsfield Airport and people missing their flights. And I'm thinking, thank God it wasn't me.
Yeah. How long did it take you, Rick, to get out? What time did you leave? Did you stay right to the very end? And if you did, how long did it take you to get from where you were to your car?
Yeah, no, I stayed till the end and got, into a special place because I went to the tailgate. So, from the end of the game, it was easy to get back to Midtown Atlanta. The next day, driving out of town, it was fun because everybody else. I'm sure getting back to respective hotels had been 2 a.m, and then people that had like 8 o'clock flights probably had to leave at like 4 to get there. So,
wow.
But they're all home, so it's all right.
Yeah.
Rick, I thought the highlight of the Super Bowl wasn't the game or the halftime show, but you'd probably, I don't know if you've had a chance to see it online. Obviously, you were there, so you didn't see it on TV live, but the NFL 100, the celebration of their 100 years, the two-minute commercial they did, had all the big stars of the NFL over the last 6 decades. It was hilarious. It was well done. And it took like 3 days to shoot, to get everybody in there to do this commercial. How does that work with the NFL? Because 2 minutes of Super Bowl time is worth about $20 million for CBS. Was that part of a trade barter, most likely, to put that spot on the air?
Well, yeah, but it's, cost from CBS's perspective. They don't kind of really care what it is as long as it satisfies certain standards. They care they get paid. Mm-hmm. So, the way it was all set up, whether cash changed back, I'm not really sure. But I do know that at the end of the day, the NFL paid a pretty penny for the spot that effectively kicked off next season and the 100th anniversary. So, you know, that was a big deal.
Yeah.
Rick, I also read that a lot of people now who don't have cable, whatever, they're using Roku devices or the, you know, Google device or the stick, anything, streaming devices. And from what I was reading, CBS streaming, if you were streaming it not off regular cable or whatever, you missed the last 4 minutes and 48 seconds, and the streaming was going in and out the entire game, frustrated millions of people, I guess. And how costly would that be for the network?
Yeah, goodwill-wise, certainly. Yeah. And, you know, streaming is, everybody gives up something if they get it for free. It was advertised for free.
Mm-hmm.
So, there are a lot of people at the end of the day who will say that we would rather pick at a game on the networks normally than streaming it. But then that's part of measurements, part of working things out long term. We're going to have that are going to work. They're going to be measured. And at the end of the day, we're going to have apples to apples. I don't believe it's 100 and whatever, 3 million, and everybody's saying profit of doom. People didn't watch it as much. The ratings went down. People are watching in different places, and this is what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Rick, I'm assuming the NFL did its usual business on merchandise. Pete Shepard today is donning his brand-new Patriots championship hat, which I've had to annoyingly look at all day. But
it's a great-looking hat.
Business as usual.
It's the
all-gray
one. It's the all-charcoal one. It's a beautiful hat.
You know what they formed, like the B-listers?
Yeah.
They took the hats from last year's game against the Eagles that they lost, and they just X'd over them, and they were hoping that people like Shepard wouldn't notice.
I actually thought about it, but I didn't like the other ones with the white bill. And I wasn't crazy about 2 years ago with the leather kind of bill and the, I don't know, but, you know, who knows? I can't keep track.
Yeah, well, look, you and everybody else bought them. People from New England, they just think what we're talking about. Six in 18. It still hasn't sunk in after.
Oops.
Yep.
Rick's phone
there
was.
There he went.
I could tell it was going.
There he went.
Why'd you bring up the Patriots, Pete?
Yeah, it's Pete's fault.
I did not. Craig brought it up.
I'll call him back.
I'll
call him back in a second, but comparing your Super Bowl hats, not a good look.
No, I did it on purpose because it annoys you.
Yeah, exactly.
But once again, I did not bring it up.
You're right. I did. All right. Rick is back. His phone is back. Rick, welcome back. All right. I think we were talking about Pete's ugly hat. But
no, it's a beautiful.
We were talking about that, and then I segued into a dynasty of 6 and 18, and you know, I guess the world, the baseball world, mourns the death of Frank Robinson today.
Yeah.
And I continue to look back. You know, that team with Brooks and those guys. Back in the non-free agent era in the early 70s, you know, those are iconic teams. Ripken came after it. I'm suggesting a broader theme here that I wasn't around for Babe Ruth, and, you know, a lot of people aren't around for Tigers' heyday, Jack Nicklaus's day. When you have a dynasty like this one, don't start talking about whether it's the best of all time or who's the best wide receiver or who deserved the MVP. Just shut up and enjoy it. I mean, this is unbelievable.
I agree. But just real quick about Frank Robinson, if there is such a statement, is he the most underrated Hall of Famer of all time? I mean, the guy won MVP in both leagues, first African-American manager, despite not to mention all the great numbers he put up. But do you think he's underrated as for his accomplishments?
Yeah, totally. And, you know, we're going to now have eulogies and we'll have people respect. And maybe this will create some thought about his contribution to the game. You know, the league office guy and people in the league office realized how important he was as well. Let's just hope that over the next week or so, people in baseball remember that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, as long as we're talking about baseball, is Bryce Harper going to get a deal before the first game? I mean, I guess now he's meeting with the Giants, but he and Manny Machado, no deal. Pitchers and catchers report in days. It's been really interesting how this has been developing.
You know, that's happened the last couple of years, but nobody at this level, obviously. And so now we talk about collusion. Is it too much? Well, it's not collusion. Listen, if I'm not going to spend $300 billion, it's going to take me a little while. Maybe the general managers are realizing, you know, he's not in that much demand at that price point.
Mm-hmm.
And if Scott Boras continues to insist on $300 million, then you know, he may not get a deal overnight. So he'll play. Look, we're not going to hold a bake sale for Bryce Harper. He'll play somewhere.
Exactly.
That's for damn sure.
Rick, let me ask you this. LeVar Ball was a big topic of discussion today because what he said this morning, you know, on Fox with Shannon Sharp and not so much Bayless. But stupid things about his son being better than LeVar, everything else. But we got into a discussion from a business standpoint as far as, you know, the Instagram feed, the followers that not just Lonzo, but LiAngelo and LaMelo have, If you had, right now at least, do you think it would be wise for anyone to invest their business into the Ball family at all, even if they put it on their Instagram or anything like that, or was LeVar Ball, because of his ridiculous quotes and interviews, is that hurting? Would that hurt the business?
It's a traveling circus, and it's uncontrollable. And I'm not sure, you know, if he's outspoken and people follow him, which is really kind of nice, but that doesn't automatically translate into corporate support. It's unfortunate that he's probably leaving a lot of corporate dollars and the stability that follows on the table because of his dad's antics. So I'll just say that. And you know, you never know what you don't get because the phone calls don't ring.
All right, Rick, for about a year I've been hearing about your new book supposed to come out in February. It's now February. Are we still on schedule? And where's my signed copy?
February 26th. You'll get it February 26th or so.
Okay.
100 of the industry leaders, 50 years of the sports business, Tagliabue, Steve Ross, Jack Nicklaus, Gary Bettman, Don Shula, Don Garber, Tony Conturo, Cal Ripken, cast of hundreds. Wow. And Amazon, I'm going to do some promotion of the book in Southwest Florida. Talk to Dickie V. Maybe we can do something together at his gala. That would be kind of cool.
That'd be
and
very
so
cool.
It'll come out February 26th. I'll send you. It used to be we just called people. Then we had press releases. Now we have EPKs, electronic press kit. I have no idea what that means. Except just buy the book. Well, I'll send it to you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to promote it. Actually, if you didn't say anything this week, you'd ask me anything next week, and I would have led with this. And I'm going to continue to lead with it through the rest of your life.
That sounds good. Awesome. Does Oprah know about this? I hear she's good at getting books out.
Oprah's upset because I turned her down. She was going to write a chapter.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Hey, right. Last question for me. The Alliance of American Football, the AAF, or the Alliance, begins this weekend. I don't know what your relationship is with Charlie Ebersol. You probably have one with Bill Polian. If they came to you and asked you to invest, would you? Is it a good idea, and do you think it's going to succeed?
Depending on what the number is. I mean, I think it's probably a good idea to play in this space a little bit. But now you see the interesting thing is, I saw a few articles this week, and the rhetoric is not, will they succeed? But the rhetoric is, we're a year ahead of the XFL. We have Bob Stoops going to Dallas, but the Alliance has a year ahead. So if the articles are about which one has a better chance of succeeding, it's a lot different than the XFL coming out last time and saying there's no chance of it succeeding. So we'll see. I'm kind of anxious to believe it or not, watch the game on Saturday night.
Me too.
Not because I have nothing to do, but Duke Virginia's at 6, and then you know that game's over. What else do you watch?
I'm with you.
Yeah, I think we'll be right there with you. All right, Rick, have a good week. We'll promote your book further next week and the week after that and so on and so forth. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Rick.
And you get a signed copy, and you and Shepard fight over it.
Okay, sounds good. All right, appreciate it. That's Rick Horro, our sports business guru, book coming out. But we talk to him each and every week at this time with the interesting businesses side of sports. Again, talking to him, the thing that we've been talking about all day is LeVar Ball, you know, whether he's crazy like a fox or whether he's just out of control, and it's to the point where you two have learned how to roll with the punches of LeVar Ball. He still gets under my skin. We still have some more sound from Undisputed this morning that we haven't gotten to here this hour. We'll play that in just a little bit, maybe on the other side of this break, in case you haven't heard it yet. But it's absolutely asinine. And I get all balled up in anger, and I'm like, what an idiot. You guys are like, dude, just laugh it off. And nobody's taking it seriously.
I thought Rick made a great point there where corporate support might be lacking. That's why you could have all the millions of followers you want. You don't get the corporate support. And don't give me all these mom-and-pop businesses that are going to latch onto these three knuckleheads, four knuckleheads. I think Rick brought up a great point. Corporate support lacking is a strong possibility with the Ball quote-unquote brand.
People will pay to get their product
we'll see.
In front of 4.5 million people.
We'll see.
It's out of my element a little bit. I don't want to sound like, you know, an old-timer. I'm inclined to agree with Chris.
Here's the thing.
There's some value in 4.5 million followers.
Okay, if Ted Bundy were alive, he could probably have 4 million Instagram followers. You want to invest in that?
And I think there's a difference here between adding value. If I'm LeVar Ball, if I'm LiAngelo Ball, LaMelo Ball, I don't care if I'm adding value to my advertiser. I'm adding value to me. Mm-hmm. That's what I care about. My 4.5 million followers is where I'm valuable.
I want to see Big Baller file for bankruptcy here because, I mean, no shoes sold. Nobody's buying their shirts. I don't see him anywhere.
Nope.
Now he's off to sell on water, which I get for free, by the way.
Yeah.
Why would I buy Big Baller water? Seriously.
You wouldn't. If I'm going to buy a bottle of water, it ain't that.
It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. And I've heard of a lot of ridiculous things. So we'll come back. We'll open up the phones again, get your reaction. We'll play some more for your reaction on LeVar Ball's comments about Lonzo on Undisputed when we come back in just a little bit here. We'll take care of all that.
Radio Tinder.
I bet you'd swipe right on this show. This is Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sit down. Take a look at yourself.
LeVar Ball, is he the loser? He says everybody else is a loser. Luke Walton is a loser. He's made his son a loser. All the Lakers are losers.
LeVar, listen. By the way, Brett Snedeker is halfway into the ocean. Not really, but
yeah.
He's on 18 at Pebble Beach, and one of the most difficult shots I've seen in a long time, he's trying to attempt.
Got to get over a mini cliff from some crushed volcanic rock.
Hitting out a rock.
His club's about to be
destroyed.
On the ocean.
On the beach.
He does have a backswing, I believe.
Oh, he does.
He's a righty, so he has a backswing.
He's got a
pop. The cameraman behind him is risking his life because he's. I can see the cameraman tumbling in. The tide. Thank God, if it wasn't low tide, he'd be.
Were those sea lions I saw out there?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
Regular occurrence out there.
Beautiful animal.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if you've ever seen him up close.
No, never.
Oh, I didn't.
Closest I would have seen of that's probably an otter or a manatee. Yeah.
There's a 17-mile drive from north of here down to Pebble Beach. One of the most beautiful drives you'll ever see. A lot of cliffs, a lot of ocean.
Narrow roads, too, right?
And all sea otters. Snedeker popped this thing up. Looks like.
I did more than pop it up. He blasted it out.
That's a nice shot.
Hey, not bad
nice
at all.
Didn't take the two-stroke penalty. Got the nice shot there. All right, back to LeVar Ball, who was on Undisputed this morning and said some asinine things about LeVar or Lonzo, and in my opinion, trying to prevent a trade by poisoning his son to any other GM. No trade went down between the Lakers and the Pelicans today at the 3 p.m. trade deadline. However, now tonight, and we presume that that LeBron was behind all this. He has the same agent as Anthony Davis, and now. All these players for the Lakers that were up for trade didn't get traded. Now they have to face LeBron in the locker room. That's going to be awkward. Lonzo's got to face his teammates after his father just went scorched earth earlier today, telling all of everybody how all of his teammates suck, including LeBron. Said Lonzo's better than LeBron, won't win a championship without LeBron. I mean, it was absolutely asinine, even for LeVar Ball statements of the past. Before we do, we got a couple more sound bites to play.
And not to mention they're playing at the Garden tonight against the Celtics.
Yeah, that should be fun. Must-see TV, TNT tonight. So, Chris, I asked, how is Big Baller Brand doing with the business, LeVar Ball's business?
And Celtics are a 9-point favorite tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's buying his shoes. Nobody's buying his shirts. Now he's selling water, for gosh sakes. You said you looked him up on the Better Business Bureau and it got a bad rating?
Oh, it's awful.
It doesn't get worse than an F.
Yeah, and that's what he's got?
That's what he has, yes.
Oh, okay.
That's what the Big Baller Brand has.
Well, I saw months ago, so many people complained about they want to exchange this, that he won't take them, or you know, never even get what you...
Bingo, that's the problem I'm finding with a lot of these reviews. Lynn wrote down just last month, ordered two hoodies in late November, paid for the 10-day shipping option. It's now January 15th. I've still not received anything. I've not gotten a reply in quite some time. Postal Service says it created shipping labels, not even received anything for them to ship out.
And then they don't get anybody on the phone. You can't get them on the phone. Nobody
no.
will talk. If you call to complain, there's no one answered the phone.
I just figured out what's going on. Mello and Jello are the two employees sewing these shoes together, right? They're mm-hmm. they're the assembly line.
Got to be a child labor law or something
well,
that you're violating.
Kid, right?
I don't think that gets you around it.
Really?
I don't think so.
All right, let's hear some more of this ridiculous sound. We'll pick it up here, Chris, on our list at cut four. Now, this was, well, the talk was that he was going to be traded to New Orleans. We know that LeVar didn't want Lonzo to go to New Orleans. He wants to stay in L.A. or go to Phoenix. But here's what he would do if he were to be traded to a place like New Orleans, and I think this is eye-opening as well.
What am I going to do about it? You got to go over there. But you can't make him play.
Ooh, so would he sit?
He going to do whatever he want to do, but you can't.
I hear what he want to do, though. You over there talking. I ain't heard him say that. You talking.
You ain't going to hear nothing because he don't want to talk to you because he know how you are against me. So I tell him,
no,
talk to that boy. He negative on us.
No.
Skip, speak up.
Thank you.
No, ain't yeah. no neck. No.
Said
you
never.
You very negative.
No. You know.
I know you negative.
My problems with you,
see,
and
there you go.
As being problems. A parent
oh,
and having
go.
A son that's on a team
hey.
And being hypercritical of said players and coach of that team.
And
that ain't no negativity.
That's just fact. That's being rational analyst. What? What has happened?
How about this?
I'm defending Shannon Sharp.
In this day and age where players now just sit with no ramifications, they still get paid. Kawhi Leonard did it all last year. I think Anthony Davis has been doing it for the past few weeks, although I think he's going to play his next game. And now, it had Lonzo been traded to New Orleans, he might have gone there but not played.
239 says, why give LeVar so much time to your show giving what he... No, it's not. And I'll tell you why. It's because we have come to the conclusion this is comedy relief, number one. Number two, finally... somebody goes back at him, which makes LeVar Ball seem even more foolish than he's done, because not many people have the guts to go at him for whatever reason. And Shannon Sharp, I'll give him kudos for doing it.
Now,
you
next
know?
Cut. We know the Lakers have struggled. We know that LeBron has been out and missed like 17 games with the groin injury. We know that there's not much talent there other than LeBron. Is Lonzo at all at fault for the Lakers' struggles? Well, according to his dad, no.
You keep saying it's Luke Walton, it's this one and that one.
Right.
Does Lonzo bear any culpability in this?
No. You know why?
Problem.
Here's the thing. Let Lonzo do what he do. Let him win.
That's not how a team works, LeVar.
Why don't it
you
work
don't
like
get
that?
To go on this.
It's been working like that for the last few years.
What y'all winning? What did he win at UCLA?
He went to the Sweet 16.
They don't hang battles for that UCLA.
He won 30-something games.
They don't hang battles for that
he
UCLA.
He won 30-something games.
So?
Yeah.
So what? So the Virginia last year. How'd that work out?
One
Sweet 16. The only thing they lost to UMBC.
One Sweet 16, and he's done squat in the NBA. Oh, wait a minute. He was good in the summer league, though, right? Remember that?
MVP.
Against all the second-round picks.
What's he what?
He's been blaming the coach.
Nothing.
Luke Walton. And he says Luke has brought a losing mentality to Lonzo and the Lakers.
Now, you tell me this. You're
okay.
talking about, okay, Lonzo is a winner. Go to Summer League, and I know you're going to say Summer League is just Summer League. But what's the difference between Summer League
and CYO basketball?
On the fact that.
Because a lot of them guys.
Okay, the coach did a heck of a job. How does Lonzo get MVP without even playing the last game? Because the coach who's doing the Summer League, Lonzo, go on, do what you do. Get these triple doubles, have fun, do what you do.
But how many of those
winning, staying in the game? Who cares? Hold on. He going to get the championship because that's what he made for. And then when the season starts, starting him, playing 4 or 5 minutes, pull him out no matter what, sit him down for 12 minutes.
I disagree
minutes,
with that.
Sit him down for 12 minutes.
No, he
didn't
do that.
But when he played in that Phoenix game, when he's balling out of control, guess what? We ain't pulling him back and forth. Let him go.
That was his second
game. That was his second game that he loose. He's like, man, okay. But then you don't play him and start him in the fourth quarter. How do you think he feeling about that if he'd been playing the whole game his whole life?
Right.
His whole life he's been like this. Let me go get these wins. Mm. And you don't believe in him like that?
Mm.
Yeah, come on, man. Now I'm just going to go to work and do what you want me to do and just whatever.
No, you can't have that attitude.
Yeah. And here's the mindset they give him. Oh, Lonzo does everything so good. You don't need to score to win. So now you tell him that. So now he's just going to the hole. You say, okay, basically you tell him that you ain't got to worry about scoring. Just do the other things. So he's doing everything else. Mm.
No, and there's another. I don't know if we have the clip. There's another part where LeVar goes on this because Shannon brings up, look, your boy's shooting 20% from 3-point land, 41% from the free throw line, bad.
He's 41% from the free
throw
line.
Something like that. It's horrible. Yeah, it's horrible.
Oh, yeah.
It's horrible. And he goes free. It sounded like practice, like Al and I practice free throw. He goes, talking free throws? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of an important part of the game.
So I looked up real quick who the coach of the Lakers was for the 2017 NBA Summer League.
Oh, yeah.
Good coach,
yeah.
According to LeVar Ball, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. That was Judd Buechler.
Beckler, I think.
Buechler.
Yeah. Former Phoenix Sun, I think.
He's no longer in coaching, at least professionally.
Right, right.
So.
Mm-hmm. So he's claimed to fame is
good of a
Summer League
and City of Palms
and one Sweet 16.
And City of Palms, where he won the championship.
The last trophy.
City of Palms.
That's it.
The last trophy Lonzo Ball won.
The City of Palms. Great. Awesome tournament.
Fort Myers, Florida.
My understanding is LeVar had some humility back then. Believe it or not.
That's what I hear. I didn't go that year, so I don't know for sure.
LeVar had humility?
Yes. I've talked to a lot of people who said that he was nice. You go up, you talk to him. He wasn't saying his kids should be the number. I mean.
Really?
Yeah.
What the hell happened?
That's why I think this is all strategic. It's strategic from LeVar.
And you know what?
Because you didn't hear from him for the first 2 years. And he says it was because he was in Europe. There's plenty of media over there that would have taken a quote.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember Todd Marinovich, too, from USC?
Yes.
That's another one we didn't bring up.
Yep.
Well, his
the
dad.
The kid that was born and bred.
His
from
dad
birth.
Didn't force.
Great 30 for 30.
His dad didn't force situations on other people. His dad forced a situation on his son.
Yes.
Wouldn't let him eat any sugar. Yep. Worked out every day. I mean, lived 18 years like that.
Yep. To groom him to
make
be
him a
an
robot.
NFL quarterback. Yes. Yep.
And then he became a drug addict. Had some talent.
Yes, he did.
But then he was a druggie, and I think still is, actually.
I thought he had straightened himself up.
He did, but I think he bounced
relapsed,
back.
Well, hopefully he straightened himself up.
Bounce back is normally used in a positive way.
Bounce
not...
back in the wrong way.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Off the wagon or on the wagon? I get that
off.
Confused all
off
the time.
The wagon.
Off
the wagon.
Off the wagon's bad.
Yes.
If you're on the wagon, you're good.
You're good.
So Craig Sheeman's on the wagon. I'm happy-go-lucky.
Yep.
If you fall off, that's bad.
It's off the wagon, yeah, but I don't think that.
No, on the wagon means you're off the wagon.
I don't think on the wagon is a saying at all.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, it should be. I mean, if off the wagon is, shouldn't on the wagon be?
Let's start it. Let's start a fad.
I'm on the wagon. I've never, I'm good. I'm good.
Well, no, on the wagon just means that you're.
Do you have to have had a problem to be on the wagon to bounce back?
Off the wagon means that you're drinking or doing drugs. What I mean, you could be a social drinker and be, off the wagon.
Okay, so I'm on the wagon. I'm the opposite.
Well, you can be a social drinker, be on the wagon.
Oh, is that what that is? I'm very confused. This show confuses me more than unconfuses me.
There's a seal going up on the 18th on the rocks. I saw a
That's
bunch
a
of
hard life being a seal.
Cabo San Lucas deep sea fishing as we were going out.
Avoiding sharks all the time.
Yeah. And did you see them try to walk on the rock or shimmy on the rocks? When you're not, they're built to swim. When they got to move on the ground.
Oh, but they spend a lot of time off land, though, too.
That's hard.
It's a mammal.
That's hard working.
Well, they have thick skin and thick.
It's called blubber.
Hair. Yeah, it's thick hair, too, that they actually have coats and coats of.
Yeah. Lovely area back behind this this whole Carmel, California.
You could still play. I think it's up to 450. It used to be 350.
Is that like Carmel, Indiana?
It's Carmel, Indiana. It's Carmel, California. I used to live in Carmel, Indiana.
Did you ever go to
Kokomo? We used to hate it when people said Carmel.
What about when Kokomo came out? Did that upset you?
Kokomo's a dump. Don't worry about Kokomo. It's a nice little song by the Beach Boys, but it's...
But it took people a long time to figure out there's only one Kokomo on the entire planet, which is in Indiana.
Top five cities in Indiana, go.
Indianapolis.
Easy.
Bloomington.
Kokomo.
South Bend. Not West Lafayette.
You got to put West Lafayette in there. Where's Ball State?
Muncie.
Come on.
Muncie, Indiana.
Terre Haute.
Terrible Haute.
You can't even come up with five.
I don't need five. I lived in the main one. I lived off of Indianapolis and Carmel. That's all you really need in Indiana. Bunch of farmland in between the rest of those cities.
What's wrong with Muncie?
See, I'm
David
sure
Letterman went there.
Yeah, right.
I could ask Pete, top five cities in Rhode Island.
Oh, easy.
There are five, so you just you power rank them.
No, there's a lot more. No, where I grew up, Narragansett, Rhode Island, I put Newport in there, Providence, Warwick. Bristol is beautiful.
How do you spell Warwick?
That's Warwick, W-A-R-W-I-C-K.
Worcester? Is that like Worcester?
No, Warwick.
Silent. There's a silent P in there somewhere.
W-A-R-W-I-C-K. Warwick, Newport, Providence, Narragansett. Absolutely. Oh, it's a beautiful state.
Oh, you forgot French Lick.
Oh, yeah.
French Lick, Indiana, home of Larry Bird, where there's one gas station, one drugstore, one stoplight, and on certain days you could see Larry Bird cutting his own front yard back in the day.
Still does, and he did it in Boston, too, when he lived in Newton. What about that house in Blue Chips, I think it was his real house, where they filmed it at. And,
well, the one we did, the commercial.
The scene where Nick Nolte drives up and starts talking to him.
I don't know.
I think that's at his house.
The commercial he did with Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, was his real house.
Well, yeah, and that's a fact. By the way, that is an unbelievable documentary on HBO because they were not friends by any stretch of the imagination until they filmed that commercial together, and then they became besties.
Go top five: Florida, number five, Orlando, number four,
Bonita.
No.
Yes.
No, I was thinking about throwing Marco in there. I'll go Marco number four.
No way.
That's too slow.
No
Never
way.
Mind.
No way.
Doing this on the fly. All right, Orlando five, number four. We're going to go with...
Bonita.
Oh, we'll go Gainesville.
Yeah?
Fun
what?
Town. Fun yeah. town. Number
make it?
Number three, mm-hmm. Jacksonville. Number four,
oh,
number two,
God.
Miami Beach.
All right.
Number one, Key West. Boom. Top five Florida towns.
What about Fort Myers?
Okay, I put Key West up there. The top five.
Key West is number one.
Jacksonville isn't.
Destin, anybody?
Jacksonville isn't in my top 80.
Look, because you had a bad experience in Jacksonville, it doesn't reflect poorly on the city. It reflects poorly on the planning of the city.
You know what I think happened?
People were great in Jacksonville. I love the people at Jacksonville.
I think Northeasterner came down here, was very rude and loud, and it shocked those people.
Rude and loud. No one could hear me. I couldn't get anywhere. They ran out of food.
They're like, they refused to serve you.
No, I wish it was that simple. The people were fantastic. I told you, the funniest story, one of the funniest stories ever. Going in with my producer, Andy, who was also Italian, walking into this great bar, Sweet Home Alabama, awesome, you know, dive type of bar, but I love places like that. We're having a ball, 20 minutes in, got our first drink and everything else, having a bartender comes up to me, really nice young lady. She's like, it's just a true story. Are you both Italian? I went, yeah, we are. She goes, wow. She goes, the only Italians we ever see in here are limo drivers. And my drink came out. She was so innocent. I mean, it was just funny. I laughed my head off.
It's Florida. The further north you get, the further south you get.
But it was absolutely hysterical. I mean, I love the people. People were fantastic.
Amendment?
Yeah.
I will take out Gainesville. I'll put Siesta Key in there. I was looking for a beach town, so there it goes.
Right.
Siesta Key.
Okay. Very good. So
no, St. Pete, Clearwater, get out of here. That's not no.
What about Indian Point?
Tampa?
Tampa is overrated.
What about Indian?
I don't like
Indian
Tampa.
Point. What's the Indian? The one up by Tampa, further west on the coast.
Indian State. Wells.
I don't know where I stayed during the hurricane.
I don't know. Oh, Indian Rocks, right?
Indian Rock.
Yeah.
Oh, I loved it.
I don't put the Panhandle in this list.
What? I was going to say you left Destin out, Pensacola. Right.
Well, I've never been to the Panhandle, so
really, Destin is better than anything around here, actually. And I'm a big fan of down here.
But there's a lot better between here and there.
Yeah. Okay.
You didn't put Naples in there either.
So our
Naples is too sleepy for me.
Yeah,
that's why I live there. I've had enough of the big city of Los Angeles and Houston and Detroit and all the cement and cars. Moved to Naples. Mm-hmm. Italian drivers, limos, that's a thing? Is that a stereotype?
That's what she said. No, I guess it could be no matter where you
See,
are.
Anytime,
I thought it was funny.
Anytime I got a limo in Los Angeles, they were always Russian, and I think they were Russian mafia, to be honest. I heard some stories from these guys.
Airport.
They would kind of come over to America to kind of stay clear of what was going on back home for a while,
and
then have jobs as limo drivers with this one company that we always use. The radio station provided me a limo everywhere I went.
That was when I was big time.
Yeah,
whatever, cab drivers, but it was just absolutely hysterical.
Yeah.
Hysterical.
All right, guess what?
Getting some blowback on my top five.
Really?
Yeah.
I agree. I mean,
it's too late in the show to do that.
Gainesville in there at all.
No, Gainesville, because I had my top three. My top three are great top three. I was coming up with four and five that was the difficult part.
Is Tallahassee a good town?
I might say Pompano in there.
Tallahassee.
Love Pompano. Vacation there my whole life.
College town?
Well, I thought about doing Tallahassee, but I think Gainesville's a better pure college town than Tallahassee. Myself?
Okay, I agree with that.
I'm more partial to Tallahassee, but as a straight college town, you got to give it to Gainesville.
All right.
Every time.
Well, guess Boca. What?
Boca.
Again, it's just a bigger Naples. It's hoity-toity. It's not me.
I like
it's
hoity-toity.
Not
that's why I live
I'm
there.
Sorry.
Definitely Bonita Springs.
I want a collar everywhere I go.
You know, you've had a rough day, Chris. You've ripped on my deceased dog. You've ripped on where I live.
Yep.
I mean, you just criticized me for 4 hours today. I don't
know
what's
going on.
Yeah,
the dog thing was a complete accident. I'm really sorry about that.
Yeah.
That's a fresh wound, and I don't want to go after that.
Very fresh. Yeah, happy birthday to my dog, who's not here anymore.
Gosh.
We're late. We're out of time. What you got next? Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN.
Time for those parting shots. It's What You Got with Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. Now, it's Sheeman and Shepherd.
All right, dear, What You Got, brought to you by our good friends at Twin Peaks. Something for everyone, made from scratch menu. Perfect sidekick to any meal is the Twin Peaks signature beer, served at a frosty 29 degrees in a 22-ounce man-sized mug. Twin Peaks eats, drinks, scenic views. I'll start you off here on this date in history, February 7th. Back in 1949, Joe DiMaggio became the first $100,000 a year salary New York Yankee. 100 grand.
Big, huge.
When that was a lot of money. And Steve Nash, happy 45th birthday. You know, he's a great soccer analyst now.
Yeah.
Former two-time MVP from the NBA.
A real Phoenix Sun.
Yeah, that's true. And on this date in history in 2016, Peyton Manning wins the Super Bowl in his final game under center for the Denver Broncos. Pete Shepard, what you got?
Well, I'll update you on our Twitter poll at 99.3 ESPN. A couple questions. Who would Dallas Cowboys fans rather see as their head coach? Jason Garrett or Bob Stoops, and Bob Stoops was just introduced earlier today as Dallas XFL franchise head coach and GM. Not even close. 87% say Stoops.
Wow. I had a feeling that would be it.
And then our second question is, KD, Kevin Durant, right for ripping the media for covering the way they covered the free agency? 69% say no. 31% yes.
All right. And that Twitter poll brought to you by Twin Peaks as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Chris, what you got?
Major League Baseball going politically correct.
Mm-mm.
And I think we've hit a rock bottom, uh-oh, at least a new rock bottom. It will no longer be called the disabled list. Uh-oh. It's the injured list. The league will make the change out of concern that the term disabled for injured players falsely conflates disabilities with injuries and an inability to participate in sports.
Well, all the other sports do have IR, the injury.
No, this is the IL.
The IL. But I'm saying the other the other.
So are we going to have the 15-day IL?
I guess so.
That's going to mess me up a bunch this
year.
How
long have we been calling it a disabled list?
Forever.
110 years?
Forever.
10-day, not 15, but yeah.
Anybody ever complain?
Not one person complained. This
can't
world,
do anything anymore.
You're right.
Pretty soon it won't be called football because some podiatrist will be upset about it. You know, so they'll change the name. Why are you insulting the foot?
It's probably true.
It's a pediatrician.
All right, we...
Baseball? Talking about base.
Wait a minute, pediatrician? I know.
Kid doctor. Yeah.
Podiatrist is a foot doctor.
I gotcha.
Proctologist is a...
Yeah.
Butt doctor.
Proctal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like they said in Seinfeld, the ass man.
The ass man.
You are the ass man. That's one of the hysterical episodes.
Fact. All right, we do not have play-by-play tonight.
Nope, nothing tonight.
But we will be watching the Lakers and Celtics tonight and my Hoosiers taking on 20th-ranked Iowa. I got a full mic tonight.
Go Hawkeyes.
Why are you
going to... No, I
always root for your team.
This is a story.
I always
here, if
root
Indiana
for
gets this win.
I always root for you.
Because what I want is I want the entire month of March for Craig to be sitting firmly on the bubble.
My team's
right
on
there,
the bubble, too.
Just planted. Right in the middle of it.
Why? Just because you could be, you're going to be very patriot like with your little North Carolina Tar Heels.
No, one seed. No, I see how Pete acts during the football season. I don't want to.
You don't want to be that.
You do want to be that. Very humbling. Sit there and take all your verbal abuse.
Spain and Fitz coming up at the top. It's been just Spain the past couple of nights.
There's got to be LeVar today. Got to be LeVar.
No, that was on a different network. That was on FS1. They're going to open up with probably, AD staying in probably, New Orleans and that this brings probably, Boston into the probably. Trade to talk now.
Or probably. KD in the media. Okay, I'm going KD in the media. I'm calling it.
I think one of us will be right.
All right, that'll do it. For Chris and for Pete Shepard, I'm Craig Sheeman. Thanks for listening. I'm awesome. I didn't trade any of you guys today. God bless America.